Good morning again, everybody, and happy Christmas to you. For those who don't know me, my name's Andrew. I'm the minister of the church here. My daughter is delighted that I'm speaking. As I say that, she wants to leave the room. And Tom is our minister in training, and it's our pleasure to be able to welcome you here to Canterbury Baptist Church on this Christmas morning. We're going to read from the Gospel of John. So if you have a Bible with you, we're going to read from John chapter 1 and verses 14 to 18. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me. Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." Lord, we thank you so much for this special day, and we thank you for the video we've just watched, for the passage we've just read together. And Lord, we pray on this most significant day that you would speak to us again afresh through your word for your glory and for your sake, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, during Advent, some or many of you will know that we've been on a journey through the opening chapter of John's Gospel, exploring who this baby that we sing about and celebrate on Christmas Day really is. We've discovered that he is, of course, no ordinary human being, but rather he was there at the very beginning. He is the maker of all things, the holder and giver of life, one with God the Father and God the Holy Spirit, totally divine, and yet in his earthly birth, totally human. And all this dramatic language in John's Gospel comes to a great crescendo in verse 14, when we read those words, "The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us." C.S. Lewis, the great writer, described this God coming to the earth as a grand miracle. And when you consider what this verse communicates to us, it is indeed a grand miracle. Just appreciate afresh this morning, this Christmas morning, that the God of all creation, the one who put the stars into space, the one who separated the sky from the sea, the one who put vegetation on the land, became flesh. He became man and dwelt among us in the glamour of a manger just over 2,000 years ago. It is a grand miracle, as C.S. Lewis put it. But one Bible commentator also calls the words in verse 14 as one of the most significant and memorable statements ever penned. Why would this commentator say such a thing? Well, I want to offer just three reasons from this passage why the incarnation of God in Jesus is so significant for us. First of all, in Jesus, God identifies with us. One Bible commentator helpfully dwells on the fact that in John 1, verse 14, we read deliberately about the Word being made flesh rather than man or a body. Every intention is made to communicate God's identification with the whole person, with all human existence in its frailty and in its vulnerability. You see, Jesus did not just enter the world as a middle-aged man or an older man. Neither did Jesus enter the world for just a moment or a brief window of existence. He could have done. Rather, Jesus was conceived on the earth. Jesus was born on the earth. He grew up on the earth. He lived on the earth before dying and rising again from the earth. He had parents, he had friends, he even had enemies, like we all do. And in doing this, Jesus experienced and entered into human life with all its joys and challenges. And this is significant for us, because it tells us that God is not removed from human reality, but rather he is truly Emmanuel, God with us. He knows what it's like to have joy and celebration in life. He knows what it means to know sorrow and grief. God experienced human reality and is truly God with us. Secondly, we understand the incarnation of God to be significant, but it's because in Jesus, God saved us. In verses 14, 16, and 17, these verses all speak about the grace of God in the Word made flesh. And this grace is best understood by the salvation that God offers in his Son. We've just heard about it in the video by the Bible Society this morning. Jesus became flesh and he dwelt among us. And this was totally necessary because, as we understand from the opening chapters of Genesis, the disobedience of Adam and Eve in the garden covered the earth with sin and caused us to fall short of the glory of God. We are in need of a Savior. The creation awaits liberation from its bondage and decay. Our relationship with God has been broken. And without Jesus, we are dead in our transgressions and sins. Without Jesus, we are without hope in the world. But all thanks be to God, in the gift and the obedience of Jesus to human life, forgiveness of sin is possible. A relationship with God is restored, and the prospect of eternal life offered to all who believe and trust in Jesus is given. We read in Ephesians 2, "We were by nature deserving of wrath, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Jesus Christ." This is the staggering truth about the incarnation of God in Christ in this passage. You will receive some pretty good presents today, I hope, anyway. Perhaps you've already received some pretty good presents, but Jesus is the best gift we could ever receive. Why? Because once we were dead in our transgressions and sins. Once we were without hope, but thanks to the gift of this baby Jesus, who is not just a human baby, but is divine, is God himself. Thanks for the gift of this baby Jesus, we can know salvation. We can know hope. We can be seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Isn't that awesome? Thank you. Somebody was excited at the back row. Thank you. It is exciting. And we celebrate this baby because not only was he born, but he was willing to die on a cross for us. He was willing to beat sin. He was willing to defeat evil. He was willing to defeat the grave so that we can know life in all its fullness. And then thirdly, the incarnation of God is significant because in Jesus, God makes himself known. We find ourselves, you've probably noticed, in another Christmas season when Star Wars is all the rage. If you didn't know, there have been two parts of a new trilogy. And this Christmas, the final and third part of that trilogy has been released. Don't worry, I haven't seen it. There'll be no spoilers from thee this morning. But I do hope to see it during the Christmas season. In episode 4, one of the original Star Wars films, The Empire Strikes Back, there is a jaw-dropping moment when Darth Vader announces to the training Jedi, Luke Skywalker, that he is in fact his what? His father.
Luke, I am your father.
It's a jaw-dropping moment. And verses 14 and 18 of John chapter 1 offer a similar yet far more significant, jaw-dropping moment as we discover that the Word was made flesh. We have not only seen the glory of the one and only Son, but we have seen in Jesus God Himself. God is revealed in Christ. One Bible commentator says, in Jesus Christ, God is known to us. In Jesus Christ, God Himself has come to us. He is the exegesis of God, the exposition of His hidden reality. Of course, the truth is that for some, they deny the existence of God. They deny that there is any evidence that God exists. And yet, here, in the Word made flesh, the glory of God is revealed. The identity of God is revealed. The character of God is revealed in Jesus. And whilst we might not have Jesus with us in the flesh today, we have no excuse or reason to doubt the existence of God's truth, because His glory has been revealed and seen in the person of Jesus and remains to be revealed through the gift of His Word, the Bible, and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit who is given to us. 2 weeks ago, I was preparing for the annual church nativity, and when reading the familiar story again, I was struck by the worship of nativity characters. Magi followed the star to bow down and worship before Jesus. Angels praise God for the favor that will rest on the earth in Jesus Christ. Shepherds returned from the manger, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard. And yet, Herod said that he wanted to worship Jesus, but actually had no intention to worship Jesus at all. Rather, Herod intended to disbelieve in the identity and the royalty of Jesus. In fact, he had every desire to do away with Jesus altogether. And so as we reflect on the Word made flesh today, the true light of all being made known to us in Jesus Christ, what will be our response to this Word made flesh? Will we do as the shepherds, the angels, and the Magi did? Will we praise Him? Will we glorify Him? Will we worship Him? Or will we do as Herod did? Will we disbelieve in this Jesus? Will we disregard Him? Or even worse, will we do away with Him altogether? My hope and my prayer is that each one of us will receive Jesus this Christmas, and that each one of us will give Him our adoration, the adoration that He deserves, and that you, I, all of us, will see His glory, the glory of the one and only, not only this Christmas, but as we come face to face with Him in the fullness of His kingdom. Let's pray together. Father God, we just want to celebrate today in the gift of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, that you desired a relationship broken with us to be restored. Lord, that you love us, that you care for us, that you want to be in relationship with us, that you want to see our sins forgiven, and therefore have given us the gift of your Son. Lord, on this significant day, may we reflect on the value and the importance of this Saviour. And Lord, may we offer you the worship and the adoration that is due your holy and mighty name. Lord, we pray that you will not get lost in all of the human things that we do today, but rather we would draw closer to you as you made your dwelling among us. And Lord, that we would see something of your glory, both in this life now and in our eternal life with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.